This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana. Signature support from the Office of Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome of East Baton Rouge, and the show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. And it is the penultimate day for the pledge drive that happens every spring, and there are only a few times a year in which we seek your support, and this is one, and it is the home stretch. So please, if you are listening and have not done so already, either be prepared to pick up the phone, and you'll be in and out in fewer than 89.3 seconds, or go to WRKF.org. And the phone number is 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. And this morning, contributions will be matched 2-for-1 by the WRKF Board of Directors. And if you give today, you will be automatically entered into a drawing for one of three pairs of Jazz Fest tickets. Two general admission tickets, good for any day of the first weekend of the Jazz Fest, which is next weekend, April 25th, 26th, 27th, or 28th. And no donation is necessary, I'm told by Barbara Clark, to enter the drawing. So once again, 855-893-9753. And Molly Bookman is here, one of our favorite guests through the years, and she has been, along with her longtime collaborator, Sharon Matthews, in charge of one of the fantastic artistic entities in our community. And the Baton Rouge Ballet Theater has stood tall and proud through good times and bad, through pandemics, you name it. It's been one of the things we can count on in this community, and it will continue without them. There are a couple of people who are in charge now who will be doing great work, I'm sure, and we'll talk about them. They're certainly capable people, but Molly and Sharon will be hard acts to follow. But the farewell for Molly, as her career as the artistic director comes to a culmination, is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the River Center, and it is, perhaps appropriately, Cinderella. And good morning to you, Molly.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for those lovely words. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, they are sincerely delivered because you have been a constant, and the community has changed, and the artistic environment has changed. The funding, of course, has changed. But you have been there, and you've survived, and of course, in our lives, we go through things independent of our jobs, but you've always been full of vim and vigor, and what a wonderful spirit. I will miss you in this capacity, but I know you will still be a part of this community.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, and neither is Sharon. We will always be there as long as we can to help Rebecca and Jonna, who are coming in our footsteps, and you know, it's been 48 years, so yes, there have been
48 years.
48 years, yes.
And
it was April 1976.
The bicentennial year.
Right, it was.
And you made it before the actual celebration. That's amazing.
We were involved in that. You know, in addition to what the ballet does, we were involved in so many things. I've had to look back through scrapbooks as we get ready for all of this, and seeing all of the benefit shows that we did for all the other arts organizations when we were young and were willing to do everything. And until we finally became an arts organization that deserves people's support. It was not always this way.
877-217-5757. It's at the River Center. There still is a River Center venue for right now.
Oh, and please let it stay. We need that
Yeah,
theater.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know why LSU has to have an arena at the expense of the River Center, but
yes, what does the River Center have to do with it? Why can't the River Center also have shows?
You're preaching to the choir here.
It's not having them now, so why? The ones it's having are very valuable to the community.
Well, I would suggest for anybody who is capable of going Saturday and Sunday, this is an opportunity to see a great production and to basically say farewell to two treasures in Sharon Matthews and our guest, Molly Bookman.
It's going to be so exciting. We have two fabulous guest artists here from Colorado. This is Sharon's choreography. She did it for us in, 2004. and it's been popular every time we bring it back. It's really beautiful.
First year I was managing RKF was when you had the first production, I believe.
And I bet this will not be the last. I'm sure that Rebecca and Jonna will bring it back in years to come.
Well, what is it about this production that grabs people after all these years?
Well, first of all, it's a ballet, so it normally is done without spoken word, but we have a wonderful script and a narrator. It's very original to this production. It brings action out into the audience, so the kids get involved with trying on the slipper. It is perfect for children and adults. The ballet itself is perfect for everyone, but with this added narration, it's really a fun production.
And how many dancers? A whole fat gang of dancers.
Almost 100.
Really?
Yes, and they are beautiful. We saw them on several TV stations this morning dancing at an ungodly hour, and they were just beautiful, and thanks to those TV stations.
Well, this is, I believe, the sixth production of Cinderella, and they have saved the best for last, Sharon and Molly. And it is Saturday and Sunday, and the times are 2 p.m., right?
2 o'clock, yes.
Matinees both days, Saturday and Sunday.
And tickets are available at Ticketmaster. If you go online, the first thing that comes up is Ticket Smarter, and it looks just like Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. Don't fall victim. Go to Ticketmaster.com, go to the BatonRougeBallet.org, call the ballet office at 766-8379, or go to the River Center box office.
And Molly, another Molly in the Garden District, not this Molly, asked, what was the first production, do you recall, 48 years ago? This would have been 76?
Yes. Well, in 76 was it still Mrs. Fuchs. And so it was at the end of that performance, that we became artistic directors, and she left town with her husband, who was Peter Paul Fuchs, who was the conductor of the symphony, and went to the Greensboro Symphony. So we had a year to get ready, and we did a mixed bill that included Hungarian Rhapsody, Dissonance in Thirds, Allegro for Four, Love is a Series, Bernstein Encore, and maybe one other thing.
Well, Jimmy Carter would have been president, and he's still kicking. He's in failing health and hospice care, but what a warrior. He'll be 100 if he makes it on October 1st, and my bet's on former President Carter. But Molly and Sharon are not going to leave Baton Rouge. They will be around, but you mentioned the succession plan. You've got two outstanding people who are more than capable.
Yes, Jonna Cox and Rebecca Acosta, who is Sharon Matthews' daughter, will become co-artistic directors. They basically are doing the work of Cinderella right now, and they have been with us for years. Of course, Rebecca grew up with us. Jonna has relocated here from Corpus Christi years ago with her husband and has been working as an associate artistic director for years as well, directing the youth ballet, choreographing Rapunzel, doing many things. And so the company is used to working with them. And by the way, the company looks gorgeous. It's mostly women. Well, it's all women, but it looks gorgeous. That is one of the changes that has happened in the 48 years. But they are stepping in, and we're very lucky. We're lucky that someone else wants to do this job. This was not an easy job.
Well, and for years you were working as volunteers, weren't you?
For many years we were volunteers. For many years we were just donors. But we have a little salary now, and we hope we can do better than that for Jonna and Rebecca and the artists who come after us. This is not the same organization that it was in 1976, and we have a lot more support, and Sharon and I will continue to help grow that support.
Well, a listener asks if the Nutcracker will continue. I'm sure it will.
As long as Jonna and Rebecca and the board choose to do it, it certainly will.
All right.
And that will remain our choreography, so we will definitely be there checking on that.
I'm sure you will. And we'll talk, I'm sure, a bit more about this as we get closer. But June 1st, which is not terribly far away, there will be a celebration about the careers and the service of Molly and Sharon at the Lod Cook Alumni Center. So if you're a supporter of the Baton Rouge Ballet Theater and appreciate the work they've done since 1976, there will be a ticketed event. So I'm glad you're getting an appropriate farewell.
I'm so excited about it. We have people coming in from every era, from back from the 70s, from all over the country. And we invite anyone who would like to come help send us off to go to our website, batonrougeballet.org.
Well, it'll be on Marilyn Monroe's 98th birthday. Actually, I take that back. They were born in, it'll be 98 years for Marilyn Monroe and Andy Griffith. You know, they were born on the same day, June 1, 1926.
Would never have guessed. But listen, this is at Lodcook. There's going to be dancing and food and I think some kind of presentation. And we plan to dance the night away and celebrate.
And another listener says, when did the ballet theater begin? I think it was 1960, wasn't it?
Okay, so the Baton Rouge Ballet Theater Incorporated was chartered in 1960, but there had been a group of Baton Rougeans who were interested in ballet and had begun a company of several years before that. And we have scrapbooks that go back to about 56.
All right, so website?
BatonRougeBallet.org.
And you can get tickets there?
Yes.
Okay, BatonRougeBallet.org. Thank you, Molly. Great work. We'll talk again soon. This is Jim Inkster, and we are in the home stretch today for the 2024 Spring Membership Drive, and we certainly would like for you to contribute to WRKF at any amount if you can. 855-893-9753. It's always good to hear from people who are supportive of this show in this hour. And yesterday we got a call at the finish line from Gus in Jackson, Louisiana, making a nice contribution. And I'm told also a contribution from Arlington, Massachusetts. So people live all over this country and listen to WRKF. If they've been exposed to it in Baton Rouge, they probably are going to find a place where they can listen wherever they are. And you can do that now wherever you are on the planet. And this morning, all contributions this hour are matched 2-for-1 by the WRKF Board of Directors. And at no charge, no donation necessary to enter a drawing for a pair of Jazz Fest tickets. Actually, two pairs. So 855-893-9753. And if you can contribute at any amount, whether you're a renewing member, a continuing member, or waiting on the sidelines to become a new member, we want you to either remain or become a part of the WRKF family, 855-893-9753. And we're joined now by Mark Ballard, the man in the Beltway. Time flies, and Mark, a listener, said, how long's he been there? It's been a couple years now, hasn't it?
Boy, yeah, I get asked that a lot. I moved up here in September 2022.
All right.
So we're coming up on
2 years, and it is a great city. But Mark will always be a Louisiana guy, and he went to Washington, and suddenly the Louisiana delegation became more prominent with Mike Johnson. And last night I was talking at a very nice affair for the St. Tammany Parish Library Foundation, and we were remarking about all the people in Louisiana who are front and center in the news. And for a state that has 1 out of 73 people in the United States, we produce far more than 1 out of 73 news stories. And we've got Mike Johnson, who we'll talk about in a moment, and Steve Scalise, and on the Biden side in his campaign, Cedric Richmond and Mitch Landrieu are all but running his campaign. His budget director, Shalonda Young, is from Baton Rouge. The ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas Greenfield, from Baton Rouge. And the star witness in the Donald Trump hush money trial, Stephanie Clifford, from Baton Rouge, better known as Stormy Daniels. So I have said it, and people have questioned me at times about whether I've lost my sanity, but I do think in many ways, when it comes to news, Mark, we are the center of the universe.
Well, it does seem to be that way. Our congressional delegation is very strong. You forget that Cassidy is the ranking member of perhaps one of the Senate's most powerful committees. There's just a lot of folks up here doing well
and making news. And a listener notes accurately that if you were to measure the amount of FaceTime on Fox News for newsmakers, John Neely Kennedy is probably pushing for the top spot.
They do like him because of that, the Virginia Law School guy who got his graduate degree in law from Oxford does this rural thing that they seem to like a lot. So.
Yeah, he found his calling, and John Kennedy, he'll be 73 years old in November. And my guess, as I've said it before, he's going to become, in my view, the modern-day Strom Thurmond. I see Kennedy, I see him at 100 in the U.S. Senate, Mark.
Well, that's interesting. That surely is. I don't know in that the politics, what I've learned in my however many months I've been up here, is that it just changes, and that it's a very fluid and so, I mean, he may get beaten, you know.
He might. There are cycles. But Kennedy, as we know, if the state suddenly goes blue, he'll be blue again.
this is true.
he's like a wrestler who gets hit the wrong way and has an epiphany, and he's done it once, and it's worked really well for him. He could do it again. He can talk the talk on either side of the spectrum.
He played a pretty big role in the Republican angst, is that the right word for it, over the impeachment, the way that the impeachment trial was handled by the Democrats.
Well, he's always questioning other people's intelligence. I remember him questioning Nancy Pelosi's intelligence. Sean, it must suck to be that dumb. I think she's congesting Tide Pods. I mean, where does he find this stuff? But as you say, it is working for John Neely Kennedy. And before we segue to Mike Johnson, a listener notes that William Morgan Cassidy, who also was a Democrat and talked to Bob Mann many years ago about running for office as a Democrat before he decided to go Republican, and he all but beat Bobby Jindal in 2003. He was the mole inside the healthcare system who got all that information about Jindal cutting off benefits and got that doctor saying Jindal was hurting people to go on the air. That was Bill Cassidy who did that to Bobby Jindal. Then he runs for office and wins several times for the state Senate first, then for Congress, U.S. House, finally for U.S. Senate as a Republican. But he is now facing the prospect of running for re-election in 2 years in a closed primary, and the mortal sin for Bill Cassidy is that he voted to impeach Donald Trump, and he voted to uphold a fairly run election. Though in a Republican closed primary, although independents presumably will be allowed to vote, that could spell trouble for our senior senator.
Yes, it could. I mean, in a state as Republican as Trump, as Trump supporting as Louisiana is, this is a big hurdle for Bill Cassidy. Now, Trump has been going after each and every person that voted for impeachment. He's 8 out of the 10 representatives who voted for impeachment in the House are gone, and he's lined up just a few days ago against one more, one of the representatives out of Washington. And, you know, and he's kind of clicking off the Senate, and apparently Cassidy, being one of the more prominent senators, was high on his list.
No doubt. And so Bill Cassidy, in a state that Donald Trump has won by 400,000 votes twice, and I would imagine if Trump is breathing, he'll win in 2024, as in 201 days from now, he'll get Louisiana's electoral votes. Bill Cassidy could be in trouble for irking the Donald, even if Donald Trump does not win the election. In Louisiana, our votes will likely go for him for a third time, and he will, at the end of this election, Donald John Trump, like him or loathe him, he will most likely have the number one, number two, and number three most amounts of votes in the history of our state, and it will be in the 2016, 2020, and 2024 elections. He is unbelievably popular with the white majority in Louisiana, Mark.
He is indeed. He is indeed. And And I don't see that changing for a while. You know, our state has always liked these kind of rogues, you know, who speak their mind and that sort of thing. It is kind of populist rogues, and Huey Long and Edwin Edwards, and I point out that Trump is in that same category of likable rogues who speak their mind in a populist way.
Donald Trump's on trial. Mike Johnson is on trial in a different way. We'll talk about that and more. And we'll also talk about Governor Landry, who has completed his first 100 days as a busy bee at the state capitol, where Mark was reporting on affairs for more than a generation. And Jeff Landry is not resting on his laurels. 877-217-5757 is your number. If you'd like to get in, I'm told now's a good time to call and make your contribution to WRKF. 855-893-9753. Back with more after this. This is Jim Inkster, and you're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, and Mark Ballard at the ready in the Capitol, as in the nation's capital. 877-217-5757 is your number, and emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. And this is the next to last day of our spring membership drive. Again, your number is 855-893-9753. And it is a joy to share the microphone with you, and I've stated it and believe it, that this is the most enlightened audience in radio. And it is a great pleasure to hear from you. So as always, we like to hear from you when you call this show. We also like to hear from you when you dial 855-893-9753. And I was privileged to be station manager from 2003 to 2006. There's a public radio veteran, Paul Mawson, who has led WRKF now for getting close to a decade and has done an exceptional job, especially in expanding the news staff. And the collection of voices you hear are as talented and capable as you're going to hear anywhere in the country. And I must say that there are many people who are there. It's a small staff, but they're there who were with me when I was a full-time staff member. Blythe Johnson, B. Cole, Karen Henderson, they're all still part of the family. And I want to have a special salute to the guy who hosts Hootenanny Power, Taylor Caffrey, who's been at WRKF, I believe, since day one, and you can still hear him every Saturday night. So if you like the programming and like the people, you're the ones who make it all happen. And if you've been on the sidelines, we'd like to make you part of the family. 855-893-9753. In Wednesday's Advocate, the front page story, Johnson says he won't resign. U.S. Speaker remains defiant amid GOP threats to oust him. Mark Ballard, our guest, wrote the story. Defiantly facing an insurrection among the U.S. House's right wing, House Speaker Mike Johnson says he will not resign, and he calls the calls for his ouster absurd. Well, here he is, and this is the point of view that is causing him grief within his ranks. He actually wants to fund the Ukrainians in their heroic battle against Vladimir Putin. And that doesn't sit well with people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was first in line to call for his ouster. Here's Speaker Johnson within the last few days. Robin Dow's found him defending himself.
We just had a policy conference with all the House Republicans. We laid out the plan on how to finally address the supplemental situation. There are precipitating events around the globe that we're all watching very carefully, and we know that the world is watching us to see how we react. We have terrorists and tyrants and terrible leaders around the world like Putin and Xi and in Iran, and they're watching to see if America will stand up for its allies and in our own interest around the globe, and we will. I do believe it'll get through rules. I wanted to present the details to my conference first. I will talk with Hakeem Jeffries, my Democrat counterpart in the House, and I suspect that they will respect this process as well, that if we put it on a rule and we let all members vote their conscience, it's equally fair to everybody in the House.
All right, well, Mark Ballard, what do you make of Mike Johnson? He's putting his neck on the block, his chin on the block, and it may take Democrats to keep him in power. How is this evolving, in your view?
Well, it's the Rules Committee is going on right now, and so what I'm predicting is that there will be there'll be Democrats who support moving those bills, and a handful of Republicans that will move those bills so that they'll get a vote probably over the weekend, because he's canceled everybody's leave. They were supposed to leave today, but they're going to have to stay Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so there'll be a vote on this, and it likely will pass, but it's going to have to require, because of the numbers of Republicans that are against funding Ukraine, they're going to have to require Democratic votes to get this passed. And it's, you know, that was a press conference where she, what we just listened to. And then, you know, yesterday he said virtually the same thing, saying that, you know, this is a Democratic moment, a historic moment. And he's saying that it's a live fire exercise for him and American families. His son is going to the Naval Academy in the fall. And he says basically that, you know, it's better to send bullets to Ukraine than it is to send American soldiers, and that it's that way. And Hakeem Jeffries yesterday in his press conference was calling it, a Churchill Chamberlain moment, you know, and actually a whole lot of folks have been saying that on there. But, you know, that's what it is. He's looking at it as a kind of a historic moment where he has to do the right thing, even if he's going to end up getting kicked out of office.
And the listener notes correctly that both of our U.S. senators did vote for funding for Ukraine, but they were in the minority among Republicans. Now, Johnson faces the prospect of having a minority of Republicans in the House vote for this, and yet he's their leader. So that juxtaposition usually would mean the end of Mike Johnson, but these are interesting times, and he is, for those of us who know him, there's no doubt this man is a highly conservative man. He's not really betraying his cause at all, but yet it may take Democrats, it probably will, if there's a vote up or down on whether he should be Speaker, a few Democrats have to come over to help him.
Well, and that's likely because of the rules that were imposed upon McCarthy back in January 2023, so that McCarthy could become House Speaker. It included a rule that allowed any one representative to begin the process, which is called motion to vacate, but it basically ousts the Speaker. And that unless the Democrats in the situation, because it's so narrow, and we're talking, he's going to need like two votes to get ousted, two Republican votes, if the Democrats don't go along with him, you know, so... You know, that's what we're looking at, such a narrow majority, and there's already three that say that they'll vote against him to oust him. So if the Democrats do not go along with him, but they said, many of them have said they will, if he can put a Ukraine funding bill on the floor for a vote, that they will protect him. But then, you know, he'll be the highest elected Republican official who is only there because of Democratic votes.
Isn't that something? Yeah. And Mike Johnson, as stated, is a conservative with a capital C, but I think the Democrats fully know that if he left, it would be somebody like Jim Jordan who would be, in their view, worse. And that's why they may come to his rescue. And he is, that's what politics is all about. He is apparently striking a deal with the Democrats to get a vote. And I'm pleased that he apparently has had an epiphany on Ukraine. I don't know about other members of our delegation. Garrett Graves and Clay Higgins both voted against funding Ukraine. I hope they will change their minds, but they may not.
Yeah, in general, I mean, because Mike Johnson voted against it when he was back then.
I know.
But he says that a lot has changed because as Speaker, he gets those briefings, those security briefings that are not open to everybody. But because he's third in line for the president, he gets those. And he said, you know, that he because of what he's learned from those briefings, that it's made him change his mind on this. Mm-hmm. And as where our House members stand on this, they are very secretive and I guess, you know, they're politicians, so they're not going to tip their hand until they have to. And mm-hmm. what we'll have to, I guess, will be on Saturday, Sunday, if these bills get out of Rules Committee today.
We're hearing the voice of Mark Mallard of the Advocate in Picayune at the epicenter of politics. 877-217-5757 is your number if you'd like to get in, or talk at talklouisiana.org. Hal in Monroe mentions the tightrope that Johnson is walking, and here's a man who is defying the hard right on the funding for Ukraine and perhaps even Donald Trump, but Hal notes correctly that extremely recently, as in the last few days, Johnson made a pit stop in Mar-a-Lago to voice with the former president his admonition that we should not have illegal people voting in elections, non-citizens. Well, that already is illegal. Why did he have to go to Mar-a-Lago, asked Hal in Monroe.
He needed to go to Mar-a-Lago to get the... To have Trump say he's his guy, and which he kind of said, you know, but he didn't. But whenever Republicans go, you know, and bend the knee before Donald Trump, he always requires something. And what he was requiring of Mike Johnson is this kind of belief that that we need to shore up our elections because they're somehow fraudulent. Which there's no evidence to show.
No, but one thing is certain, that if Donald Trump loses, he will say it's a fraudulent election. There's no way he'll ever concede defeat. And he's the first president and the only president other than John Quincy Adams to lose the overall vote twice. And he faces the prospect of losing it a third time. He will have more lost elections as far as overall votes than all the, almost all the presidents put together, and more divorces than all of them put together. And we will segue to the trial in New York City. And wouldn't you know it, the star witness is the pride of Baton Rouge, Stephanie Stormy Daniels Clifford, who I don't know, based on Trump's behavior in the past, how he will be able to restrain himself as he hears the testimony from Stephanie Clifford. We'll talk about that and more with Mark, and go to the phone lines again, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, our number to contribute, and the final quarter hour, and we'd like to get you in before 10 o'clock. But if you can dial this number anytime today, you'll get one person will get you in out fewer than 89.3 seconds. If you dial 855-893-9753, that's 855-893-9753. Patricia in Magnolia Woods, you are on the air with Mark Ballard. Good morning, Patricia.
Hey, good morning. Garrett Graves sent out an email a while ago saying that he is against Putin and would support aid for Ukraine if Ukraine followed the recommendations of some military veterans in Congress, basically accounting more better for how the aid is spent. And so I'm curious as to how he will vote this weekend.
All right. Mark, is Garrett looking for some wiggle room, or is he going to change his vote?
Of course, he's not going to tell me until he actually votes. He probably won't even tell his wife until he actually votes. But no, these politicians are basically they're looking at wiggle room, and that, I think that's what we have to keep in mind, that they're looking for a way to stay on the Republican side, the group of the conservatives that are against further funding of the Ukraine, while not also appearing to be supporting Putin's efforts, if that's pro- possible, the efforts of re-expanding Russia into what the Soviet Union once was. So they're trying to do both worlds, and they're going to go in between.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard, Doug on Corsi. Hi, Doug.
Good morning. You seem to be avoiding some very uncomfortable things that you're aware of, and folks who pay attention are as well. And the visit by Mike Johnson to Mar-a-Lago is part of this pattern. Based on his past behavior in the 2020 election, there is no reason to think that he will certify the coming election for Joe Biden. And everything that was tried in the House last time, there's every reason to think it will be done again. And it's a very uncomfortable situation. A lot of us would like to think, well, it just can't happen. But we have every reason to think that it will happen, no matter how the vote tally actually is, and this narrative of illegal people voting in large enough numbers to make some kind of difference is part of that. And I think we all need to be looking ahead to it, as uncomfortable as it is.
Doug makes a point that I hear regularly when I watch MSNBC, and based on Trump's behavior, I don't think there's any doubt. He's already done it once. He'll do it again if he's in position to do it. And he's not going to concede defeat, even if it's a rout. But I have faith in Mike Johnson. I do have faith in Mike Johnson, and some might say that's misplaced faith, but I think he will do the right thing if it comes to that, but there's no guarantee. I will concede that, and we could be headed for a collision of monumental proportions, Mark, in the worst-case scenario.
Well, I hope he does the right thing, and because, I mean, I think he's a serious person who has a set of beliefs that he follows, so I hope he does the right thing. We don't know, and about the only thing we can do is, if he doesn't do the right thing, then raise a fuss and hope that the public opinion will go along with that, and that's basically about the only thing we can do. We can't do anything about it now, as the caller seems to indicate that we should be, because he hasn't made those decisions. We're not at that juncture yet.
Bill in Opelousas. Bill, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes. Good morning, guys. I want to know, why is we funding two of these wars that Biden started and the American people are struggling?
Biden started the war in Ukraine? I mean, Bill, come on. Biden started the war in Gaza? Okay, Mark.
Let me give you the words that Mike Johnson gave yesterday. He said that he could make a selfish decision and do something that's different. But what I believe to be the right thing, I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we have gotten. I believe that Xi, the president of China, and Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia in Iran, really are the axis of evil. I think they really are in coordination on this. I think Vladimir Putin will continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think that he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. And those are the words of Mike Johnson, one of the most conservative members of the House.
Randy and Zachary. Randy, you're on with Mark. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim and Mark. My question is, what we're looking at, tell me if you agree, is with Mike Johnson, is that the man is simply trying to govern. And he's offering the Republicans as well as the Democrats the opportunity to make their decision based upon governing, not on anything else. Can you give me your opinion on whether you agree with that or not?
Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, as a reporter, I'm not supposed to have an opinion, though it's hard for me to keep it down. But that is what he says he's doing. He's saying that, he's speaker now and he has to make choices to govern rather than to hang on to the political partisan points of view.
Well, a story today that any other day would be something we'd probably log most of the hour discussing, Governor Jeff Landry and James Finn's story, which is above the fold in The Advocate, who touted transparency on the campaign trail in his push to overhaul Louisiana's criminal justice system, is backing an effort to all but gut, maybe it is gut is the right word, the state's transparency laws by barring any documents involved in planning government decisions from public view. The legislation, Senate Bill 482, would apply to emails, messages, and any other records produced by officials in the course of making government decisions. It earned approval from the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee yesterday. And another bill, Senate Bill 502, seeks to require identification checks on people who file requests. Of course, this has caught the ire of people who are believing that transparency is good and that's the only way we're going to have good government. And by the way, this also would involve colleges and universities. So if you want to look into something at LSU, you would have to wade through this, which would be perhaps an impossible process. Mark, I'm somewhat surprised Governor Landry is going along with this, but he has at one point, as we know, he filed suit against Andrea Gallo, one of your reporters, over a public records request. It appears that he's on board. I think this will pass most likely and that the governor will sign it and there will probably be a legal challenge to it. It's a process that some find unsettling. Your thoughts?
Well, it is. It has always been that way. Government, regardless of the party, has always tried to avoid the transparency. And this is what Governor Landry is doing, and the Republicans, majority in the legislature, are doing. They can do it now. They have enough people to do it, and that seems to be what's going on. I mean, but this has been a long fight of government officials not wanting to have alternative facts out in the beyond what they say they want us to know.
James in Metairie. James, you're on with Mark. Good morning, James.
Hi, Jim. Good morning, and hello, Mark. Mark, those sane, rational words that you were quoting from Mike Johnson, they were patriotic words. They were realistic words. Well, if you listen to conservative talk radio, you'll understand why. These are the three reasons why they believe Mike Johnson would make such a statement. He is a coward, he has been bought off, or he's being blackmailed. Those are the reasons why what conservatives believe has caused Mike Johnson to change.
Mark?
If you're wanting me to defend talk radio or since Rush Limbaugh, I've just thought that talk radio has been a bane on our existence. So,
yeah.
And I don't really believe what they have to say.
and Rush was far more dangerous because he was talented. These other guys are pale imitators of the master. And of course, Rush did lots of damage to our country because he was so talented at propaganda, and it was propaganda. Here's a guy who closed his commentaries for years by saying, never trust a draft dodger, and he was a draft dodger. He was a draft dodger.
At least he was honest about that.
He would ridicule people's intelligence, and he flunked out of Southeast Missouri State University. He could go on and on and on. He would question people's morality. He was married four times. As Don Imus, his colleague, called him a drug-addled gas bag. And we have some now who are in his footsteps who are not nearly as gifted as he, and I think their words should be taken for what they are, and that's bunk. And Mike Johnson is a serious man, and I'm pleased that he, in this case, is going against the grain. Mark, always an honor and pleasure to talk with you. We'll be calling again next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. And please get in, if you can, under the wire at 855-893-9753. Until tomorrow, stay safe and stay tuned.